RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning, regular feature on Tuesday is the Wilms Report. That's when Tim Wilms reports in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne, Australia. And Tim is back with us. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm going excellent at the Melbourne Cricket Ground on Saturday afternoon at the AFL Grand Final. The mighty Brisbane Lions mauled the Sydney Swans by 60 points. Brisbane Lions supporter, I am absolutely ecstatic, especially after the devastation of the four-point Grand Final loss to the Collingwood Magpies last year. So I've been extremely euphoric. And
well, that's good to hear, Tim. I'm just trying to work out how that feels because I'm not a great sports team follower, yet I can hear the upbeat sound of your voice. I can tell you're happy. Yeah.
Yes, I love my bread and circuses, sports ball.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Of course, the AFL Grand Final, it's not just about the game itself. There, of course, was another Welcome to Country with Uncle Colin Hunter topping off his big earner for the AFL Finals campaign. He'll apparently be back for the Boxing Day test for the Welcome to Country.
So how much does Uncle Colin make out of that? Do we know?
We don't know, but we do know that the pre-match entertainer, Katy Perry, earned $5 million from the AFL for a single...
$5 million?
Yes.
Crikey.
And which is more than the $1.5 million she earned for the one-off performance at Vizzy, owner Anthony Pratt's mansion, which Anthony Albanese attended earlier this year. It was a food and beverage annual dinner. He was there. And of course, because it was an event of national significance, both Anthony Albanese and Peter Dutton were in Melbourne for the grand final. Peter Dutton, being a Queenslander, had his Lions scarf on as well. And one of the most beautiful things about the Lions winning the grand final is our coach, Chris Fagan, the oldest AFL coach to win a grand final at 63, never played elite AFL. And he's done this while he's been dragged through the courts and been smeared for 2 years as a racist for ex Hawthorn Indigenous players accused him when he was assistant at Hawthorn, and the Hawthorn coach at the time, Alistair Clarkson, of a discrimination and separating them from their families. So despite this being tarred with the racist accusation, he's got the Brisbane Lions two grand finals and one. So,
well, that's a great middle finger right there, isn't it?
Yes, and he's one of the nicest AFL coaches. And there's two star Indigenous Brisbane Lions players, Charlie Cameron and Callum Archie. So clearly, they love working with him and don't feel discriminated against.
Yeah, yeah. What about Anthony Albanese and Peter Dutton? Do they genuinely follow the sport, or are they there just for the look of it?
Oh, well, because it's a national event, so they find a way to, especially a lot of the other ministers, they find a way to claim it by having some other business in Melbourne as well, like
an announceable.
Okay. I'm not sure if your politicians do that as well. There will probably be more politicians travelling in to Sydney for the NRL grand final next Sunday evening between the Penrith Panthers and the Melbourne Storm. Well, Anthony Albanese will just have to go up the road because he's a Sydney sider. It's been an events packed calendar in Melbourne.
Right. Always is, isn't
over
it?
The weekend, there was the Australia Cup soccer final Melbourne Victory and MacArthur FC. MacArthur won 1-0, and there was Hezbollah flags at the usual Sunday pro-Palestine rallies, given that there's now the war in southern Lebanon.
Yeah, well, the chief guy got blown up, and the guy took over from him got blown up, and
it's illegal in Australia to display the flag symbols of terrorist organisations. So there are calls to have those people charged. Otherwise, it looks like it's two-tier policing, given that we already have somebody who's charged with performing a Nazi salute. So we'll see just how effective these laws are against Islamists.
Now, Katy Perry earned $5 million. Tina Arena, she's quite a well-known Australian artist. She was part of that whole celebration as well. Do you think she got any close to the $5 million that Katy picked up?
I don't think so. She only sang on stage for a minute. They did a duet of Katy Perry's hit "I Kissed a Girl," which I thought was more appropriate for the AFL Women's Grand.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was one of her hits, I suppose. The I Stand With Dan crowd, they hate Tina Arena because, well, she dared to criticise Dan Andrews' lockdowns, talked about how they devastated the arts community. She's been around for 30-plus years.
Yeah, well-established.
So apparently some Dan stans, as they're called for short, booed her from the crowd. Apparently it's okay for them to boo a performer, but it's not okay for us to boo the Welcome to Country. That would be racist.
You'd have to be a bit of a loser to be a Dan fan, wouldn't you? I mean, I can't think of anything more loser than that, just from what I've seen. Maybe I'm wrong.
They're going to get a new shrine to their dear leader. Now, this news was dumped on Grand Final Eve, which is a public holiday, so basically taking out the trash. So because Dan Andrews served 3,000 days as Premier, he'll be immortalised in a bronze statue at $100,000, which is actually quite cheap compared to all the things that Dan spent money on. His metro tunnel, it was also announced on Grand Final Eve, taking out the trash day. Transport Infrastructure Minister Danny Pearson said the metro tunnel had blown out by another $837 million. So the final price tag now is $15.6 billion, and he said it could blow out again. He's like, I don't know next year whether there's going to be another pandemic or 1 in 100 year event. Of course, that is why many Victorians are disgusted at Dan Andrews getting a bronze shrine.
That'll be a target, though, won't it? That'll be a target for who knows what.
Oh, well, we've already had countless people online and even in print speculate on just how long it will last before maybe it will have its head chopped off like Bart Simpson did to Jebediah Springfield, or maybe it'll just be full taken off its feet and thrown in the Yarra River like Black Lives Matter did with some of the statues in the UK. Though I wonder if Victoria Police, because they haven't been able to find any of the Captain Cook decapitators statue vandals, I wonder if they'll decide have a full investigation at the first person to deface Dan Andrews' statue. Wonder if we'll see some more two-tier policing.
Now, the misinformation bill, where's that at right now?
Public submissions have already closed for the revised misinformation bill. The public only had 1 week to publish submissions. So that's already closed now. The Liberal and National Opposition have said they'll oppose the misinformation bill, though it was initially drafted under the Morrison government. So if Scott Morrison had been re-elected, you can probably guarantee that he would have introduced it, because his government introduced the Online Safety Act in 2021, which gave the eSafety Commissioner extra powers to take down bullying and harassing posts, which seems to go after people such as the TERFs or gender criticals for misgendering someone.
Yeah, but people are really nasty about TERFs as well. Do they get taken down? Do they get anyone turning up at the door?
I haven't heard of the eSafety Commissioner taking down a hate-filled post against a TERF.
And there are plenty of them, just shows you. Okay, I saw Craig Kelly and a few other people turn up. Was that in Sydney somewhere?
Yes, at Speaker's Corner.
That's it.
Organised by the Libertarian Party of New South Wales. So John Ruddock, their MLC in the New South Wales Parliament, spoke. So did Craig Kelly, ex-Liberal, United Australia Party MP. He was with One Nation for a while, but also left that party as well. And also a former LNP Queensland member for Dawson, George Christensen, who also stood as a One Nation candidate at the last election, was also there. There was this weird side group which seemed to support Semyon Boykov, the Aussie Cossack, who's banged himself up at the Russian consulate in Sydney after there was a warrant put out for his arrest after he allegedly pushed an elderly Ukrainian man over at a public event. So they wanted to have side by side and drown them out. It was really bizarre. And it also gives the pro-censorship crowd the opportunity to say, oh, look at what a rabble they are. But it was tended by 1,000 people, which is not bad. I hope that we get a lot more.
Not huge, though, is it? Not huge for something that has the effect that
Grand Final Day and the Sydney Swans. Oh,
yeah, there you go. The bread and circus gets in the way again.
Yes, but hopefully we get lots more for Melbourne's Free Speech Rally this Saturday, October the 5th at Flagstaff Gardens. And I wonder if the local Melbourne Antifa will have a pro-censorship counter-protest like they did in the November 2021 Freedom Rally. We got 500,000 that day.
Wow.
And a little pro-health rally with these fatties with their masks on.
Please, not at this time of the morning. I don't want to think about that. Okay, let's coming up against time. Inflation is down, but is it really? It depends on what's measured, isn't it, in the end?
Well, for 1 month, so it's gone, it's at 2.7% for the month of August, but this is just the ABS figure, not the national account. So it's down from 3.5 in July. The Federal Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, was crowing about it, and obviously he's got his fingers crossed for an interest rate cut for the end of the year, but the Reserve Bank Governor, Michelle Bullock, has said, well, we need to see if it's sustained within 2 to 3%. It was mainly electricity and petrol, which contributed to the drop in inflation, which of course...
Okay, that's interesting. Energy, in other words. Yep.
Yes, but a lot of that was due to government subsidies. So, again, we'll see if that sustains. So Jim Chalmers, he crowed about that, then went over to China for a trade mission, whatever it was called. And he has to hand in his phone while he's in the People's Republic of China. So therefore, he couldn't answer until he got back whether he asked his treasury to model changes to negative gearing, which is where people who have investment properties are allowed to deduct losses on those investment properties. Now, Bill Shorten lost the unlosable election for Labor in 2019, promising changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax. But it's always been for the Labor class warriors, and also for those who want to have an intergenerational war as well, because it's the wealthy boomers who have the investment properties. They're hoarding all of the property, and that's why it's so expensive. But it's got nothing to do with supply or demand, this change. Thus, we need more supply, but we could do with less demand. We've still got a mass migration into Australia continuing at record levels. So the May budget forecast net overseas arrivals falling to 260,000 in 2024-25, down from 528,000 in 2022-23.
Oh, that's big.
But already this year, the start of the new financial year has seen 432,150 migrants moving to Australia to July. Now, that's not a net migration figure, but it gives you an indication. And Jim Chalmers has admitted that it's going to be more than forecast. What could be contributing to this forecast being way off is that a new tactic of those who are here on student visas and other temporary visas is to claim asylum. So therefore, while it's going through the tribunals, which can drag out for years and years, they get work rights. So we've seen that protection visa lodgements, they've gone from just under 20,000 in the 2022-23 financial year to 25,000 the 23-24 year. And so a lot of them, the main groups are Vietnamese, Chinese, and Indians. So
right. Yep.
This is, and we're seeing these continuing, what you basically call them migrant occupations outside the Home Affairs offices demanding permanent visas. So, once they get their foot in the door, they're using every avenue to stay. And Peter Dutton, to signal his toughness on cracking down on this gaming of the system, it's been going on for about 20 years using, this is just a new route to backdoor permanent residency. He said that these international students are overstaying their visas and launching asylum claims at the modern version of boat arrivals.
And he had to hand his phone in what? So the Chinese don't spy on his phone. Is that the reason for that?
Jim Chalmers. Oh, well,
yeah.
That he's not giving away. Well, I think spying for Australia over in China.
Oh, I see that way around. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You guys, your folks don't get up to that, do they? Do they? They wouldn't get up to that, would they?
Oh, well, apparently China has caught Australians are spying and sentenced them to espionage and sentenced them to decades in prison. Of course, the Chinese judiciary is, of course, beyond reproach. It'd never be just they wanted to.
No, of course, they wouldn't single someone out for that.
Persecute someone.
Okay, just up against time, two quick things. Islamophobia envoy. I think you might have alluded to
that last
report. And then the ACCC. What's in those two stories?
Yeah, so we've already got the Albanese government appointed a anti-Semitism envoy, lawyer Gillian Segal, and now they've got an Islamophobia envoy, British-Australian academic Aftab Malek. So I don't know whether there'll be a special envoy for combating anti-whiteism. I won't hold my breath for that. And last week, our Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, the ACCC, announced that they were taking action against the major supermarkets, Woolworths and Coles, for their prices dropped. Promotions. So this is different from like weekly specials where they announced that the prices dropped and it's staying down. Coles used a status quo's down, down song. And the slogan was down, down and staying down, prices are down, which of course in this inflationary environment, prices going up and then it comes down to actually more than it was before we had this inflationary thing, but it's called a price drop. So, of course, the Albanese government and the Dutton opposition have said we welcome this because obviously it's popular for the politicians to bash the big supermarkets, absolves them of their contributions to our inflation over the past 2 years.
Yeah, look that way, not at us. Yeah. All right. Good to catch up again, Tim. We'll talk in a week, shall we?
We will do. I'll give you a updates on the NRL grand final and, of course, a full report from the free speech rally here in Melbourne on Saturday afternoon. So,
events the RCR at the shop moment. Has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.